The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Take one off.
I wasn't there anymore. I have a bone spur on the top of my foot.
And I missed the bone spur pot. I thought you were talking about amputating your foot.
We'll get him up on the gibbet over here. This might hurt a little bit, naturally.
Yes, I think it is. I think it's hurting.
Oh. A little pain never hurt anyone.
I could probably do it myself because I got a grind wheel.
No. This is one I think you should leave to the professionals.
Oh, he's still up there. Okay. What we're doing is separating the bones a little bit.
Gabe. What tool you think they're using in the operating room? I guarantee they're using a grind wheel to get rid of it.
Yeah, but somebody else is doing it.
If you don't feel better tomorrow, we'll just cut them off here.
I don't think it's that hard.
Yeah, people would be going to see Dr. Tremura for more bleedings.
That is probably day one of medical school.
I'm pretty sure I'll be feeling better tomorrow.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Man, I was excited about today, but what do they do in here in the afternoon?
It's romper room.
Like, we have a screen in here. I don't know if anybody's ever watching, you know, for people who happen to watch on YouTube. ESPNMilwaukee.com's YouTube page, where you can stream all your favorite ESPN Milwaukee shows. But when Chewy's in Florida like he is now, and I'm sitting here by myself in the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios, there's a little screen to my right. So if you're watching, you kind of be, you know, I'm not looking up necessarily at one of our other cameras or looking at Joshy. I'm typically looking down so I can see Chewy. And I'm getting ready to settle in. And look, today's going to be an exciting day. That's what I wanted to talk about, some of the exciting things. And instead, like, this thing is just destroyed. It won't turn on. It's sitting down. Like, usually it's propped up nice. I mean, what are they doing here in the afternoon?
Who knows?
I mean, typically
When Benny's involved, you have no idea.
Typically, Joshy, you just come in, you sit down. Like, you operate. Like, this isn't in a space where anybody should be messing with. It should just be sitting there.
Speaking of the stream.
Yeah.
No, this is for Josh.
Oh, okay. I'll.
Josh, can I ask you a question?
You sure can.
Is there such a thing as being too color coordinated? Because, Gabe, you look like a tool. I'm sorry. I want to help you out here.
Yeah.
But the vest
and
the long sleeve underneath perfectly matching the hat is too. Are you playing golf today?
No. So here's the other thing.
No, you can be too color coordinated if you're not, like, playing golf or doing something.
No. You have zero legs to stand on here because you have so many different shoes that you match it to your outfit every day. And anytime,
that's a lie.
And anytime somebody else isn't matching their shoes to their outfit, you also point that out to make fun of them.
What do your pants look like?
Just jeans. Just wearing jeans today.
And then your shoes are what color?
Red.
That's toady. You are a toad. I'm sorry.
It's opening day, man.
I'm wearing a shirt that's pea yellow and orange shoes.
I mean,
that doesn't match.
Chew, here's the thing. I'd love to believe you. I can't see you. I can't. Hey. I'd love to be able to look down here and see you like I do every other day.
Oh, but it's busted?
But I can't.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're blaming the afternoon show. Why wouldn't you blame Homer?
Because I don't think Homer has anything to do with any of that. Like, Homer comes in, and Homer's like everybody else, right? Like, I come in. I've got two screens in front of me. I get those screens set. I can see the talk and text line on one. I can see the call in line on the other. And now I've got, you know, my laptop if I want to have social media up or whatever. And I kind of just stay in my space. Homer's going to stay in that space. That is outside of anything anybody should ever be messing with.
But, Joshy, back to my question. Is there such a thing as being too color coordinated? Because that's Gabe.
Yeah.
The only colors you have on are blue and white and red.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Red, white, and blue. Oh, so now you hate America. So now you hate America. Okay, I get you. All right, I understand where you're coming from.
Is there such a thing?
Josh had to step out.
Okay.
So it's just me and you. We have no supervision right now.
All right, I'll answer for Josh. Yes.
My phone case is black. Does that come
The only thing that's redeeming about it is it's throwback.
Yeah, it's the Expos, man. It's opening day. Yeah, that's one of the things I'm excited about today.
It's not opening day.
It is opening day. Well, not for the Brewers.
They canceled the game.
Well, not for the Brewers.
Who are the Sox playing?
Padres
cares?
Tonight, yeah. But again, there's baseball. Baseball's back. I'm excited about that. Thanasis did an interview with Jordan Love. That's going to be dropping at 10 o'clock today. If you download Thanalysis wherever you get your podcasts, you can hear TA talking to Packers quarterback Jordan Love. So I'm excited about that. Like, a lot of really exciting things are happening today, big guy.
Well, that's good.
And
because that's a little bit of a slow time.
So
in sports,
we got some preview. You know, we got, again, it doesn't come out until 10 o'clock this morning. So 3 hours from now, you can be listening to Thanalysis' conversation with Jordan Love. But there was one part that I found really interesting of kind of some of the preview stuff that that we were privy to get. And we're going to play some of that preview sound for you, because I've heard a story or two from you about what you guys used to do on the road, sneaking out and whatnot. You know, stories of Jim Kelly daring Brett Favre, telling him that there's no way he would ever go out before a game, things like that, you know, before a preseason game. So being able to sneak out of the hotel doesn't sound like that is as possible in today's NFL. Although this isn't shocking, as I'm guessing some of these policies may have been enacted by the Packers because of you guys sneaking out. Here's Jordan Love talking about the security measures they have when they are on the road.
We fly as a team. We fly on a plane. We charter a plane. So it's pretty packed, though. We have the whole team on there, the staff and everybody. But it's not like you can bring family or anybody on the plane with us.
I get that. That gets tricky.
So we fly there as a team, and then obviously once people get there, you can get them into the hotel, and we'll have a family section, things like that. But rooms off limits. You know, we got cameras in the room, so, or not in the rooms, but in the hallway. So you can't be bringing people up. We got security in the hallway. So yes, man, it's
Is this a basketball team or is this AAU? This is college.
So cameras, security guards, although the security guard seems like you might be able to work around. Like, if you're creative enough, Chew, like, you guys worked around security. Like, you had security guards back in the 90s.
Yeah, we bribed them. Well, I bribed them for the Super Bowl because we had curfew all week long, which is kind of bull. The thing that cheesed us is,
what do you mean it's bull? Of course you're going to have curfew during the Super Bowl.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Because everyone, for the most part, knows someone on the other team. So I happen to know two players from Boston College on their team for Super Bowl 31.
Okay.
So we found out that for the first 3 days, the Patriots didn't have curfew.
Okay.
And we always had a midnight curfew, so we thought it was absolute bull, especially when we're there on a Sunday and we don't play till the following Sunday. So we bribed the security guard, gave him $100, clean as a whistle. The biggest thing was getting through the lobby, because a lot of the staff, Packers staff and coaches, were in the hotel bar. So we had to be creative when sneaking in, which is another bull. Do you think they should have a curfew as well when we're a week out? So these are the things that go through the mind of players when, they go on the road dealing with curfew. But here's the thing, and you tell me.
Okay.
We gave the security guard $100. Nicest guy in the world.
All right.
You know, southern accent, really good guy. I don't know what he did for a living, but super nice guy. But his wife, because we wound up giving him $300, baked us pies.
Oh, nice.
You can't eat them.
What, you were scared that they were trying to poison you?
You cannot eat food given to you by someone you don't know. That is a rule. Would you?
All right, we're going to have to put this on
the poll. A complete stranger. No.
It's kind of weird, because I don't know. There aren't very many situations where I am getting food from a complete stranger. I know Homer has a thing where he will not. Like, if if somebody made, like Ashton, because Ashton likes to bake, and then he'll yeah. put his creations out in the kitchen here in the Good Karma Brands offices here in Milwaukee, and people will go through and eat them. Homer would not eat that. Even if he knew it was Ashton who made it, he just, unless like his wife or mother happened to make it, he's not eating it.
But yeah, he'll eat fast food every single
correct.
Day.
Correct. Or if it was a box of cookies from Pick and Save, you know, like they just have those and it's in the plastic yeah. little thing. Oh, he would eat those. But he is not going to eat something that somebody
even if
made.
He knows the person.
Even if
see,
he,
I'd,
yeah.
I'd eat Ashton stuff. A,
oh,
a
yeah.
complete
like if
stranger.
I brought in, you know, a cheesecake, Homer would not eat that cheesecake.
Why?
I don't know. It's just it's one of the things I learned about him after all doing right. the show for nearly 7 years.
Would you eat food from a complete
from
stranger?
A complete? So that's I'm trying to imagine a situation yeah. where I guess I would, but I'm also trying to figure out a situation where I would be I mean, a complete stranger would offer me something that they made.
I was gonna say I bought stuff from like bake sales.
Yeah, sure.
Like if there's some kids
fine.
Out or yeah, I'd do
but
that.
Gabe, you just moved into a new house. The neighbor six houses down.
Yeah.
Wanted to give you a little gift, bring over, you know, some chocolate chip muffins. Are
sure.
you eating them?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
No way. You can't do that. Not in today's world.
I'm supposed to imagine my neighbor's going to poison me?
You never know. I mean, there is the Visine trick. I've had the Visine trick pulled on me.
What's the Visine trick?
Pour it into a drink. Gives you Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sit on the pot. It's actually a really good one.
No, it's not. That's very mean to do. There's two things
yeah,
going
like
on
the
here
only
for me.
Person, the only person who's going to pull the Visine trick on me is yeah. somebody I know.
Yeah. There's two things going on here for me for you specifically in this situation. One is an athlete who needs their physical body in tip-top shape to perform in the Super Bowl in the coming weeks. I'd probably be a lot more weary about where I ate, period. Like, if it wasn't from the team, I would be nervous to be, like, go eating some of the seafood in New Orleans. Just because I do not yeah. know for sure, and I don't want to be sick.
Well, because especially with seafood, there's always a risk.
Uh-huh.
There's
well,
always
Bakhtiari,
a risk that they just don't prepare it
didn't,
correctly.
Didn't Bakhtiari or Balaga go out for sushi, which we used to do, and he got food poisoning and couldn't play the next day?
I do not recall.
I recall. I don't remember
I
the player specifically. It might have been Balaga.
Yes. Yes. Because most NFL, well, not most, but a good portion of NFL football players are cheap as ever, right? So you're always looking for that $9.99 all-you-can-eat sushi deal, which probably is not a good idea.
Probably should reconsider if that's the deal.
But sushi was a big meal for us the night before a game, which probably, I don't know if that's the best thing.
The other thing that you were saying is how it wasn't fair that they were in the lobby drinking is I think you guys, specifically you, Brett, Frank, had a little bit of a reputation, I would call it, that would probably make it a little more risky. Yeah, I see the fire alarm going off in the other room. Not in here, though, so we're still good.
Yeah, but we were engaging. We were cool. Like, today's players, they don't go out.
Yeah, because they can't, man. They can't.
They can. If you want to, you can. Don't give me the camera bull.
I mean, they
do go out. Sit there and act normal.
Yeah, I mean, they do go out. That's how.
No, they don't.
No, they just don't go out. Today's athlete.
James Harden's probably still out from last night.
Jordan Love?
No, Jordan Love, I don't think he does.
I've seen Jordan Love. Now, it was in the offseason, but I saw him. He was down out in Milwaukee.
Last year. I remember that.
Yeah, he was. Some of my friends were there with him.
I remember hearing about that. Yeah, during the offseason.
Cool.
I don't think they do what you guys did.
No.
I don't know if any athlete, because today's athlete, as much as you are a my body is a temple guy, Chew, you also like, oh, my body's a temple, except on Thursdays when I have my wine
well,
with Blammer.
Well, you cheat days.
Yeah. But,
right?
I think that today's athletes, when they are in season, yes, there are some, but we've just learned so much more about nutrition and performance and all these different things.
Sleep.
Yeah.
Where,
Frank said it's overrated.
Frankie said that?
Beer. That stuff is overrated to a point.
Sure. Like, again, I think everything, yes, if you take it to an extreme, it can become overrated. But I think a lot of people are... I think a lot more athletes, because of the amount of money that is on the line, not to say that you guys didn't play for a lot of money, because you did.
Yeah.
But it's it's exponentially more now, right? So it feels like guys don't want to mess that up or risk messing up.
Like Tom Brady drinking the avocado vodka. Get a life, loser.
Yeah.
Come on. That's taking it way too far, right?
Yeah, I mean,
who would you rather hang out with, Tom Brady or the Three Amigos?
Not even close.
Yeah. You think Tom Brady's throwing back a brewski?
You might get hit by a Christmas tree in Hurley, Wisconsin.
Brett's howling like a wolf. Think Tom Brady ever did that at a bar? Doubt it.
There's also a portion of, I think, that factors into athletes not being out as much as they were, is there's a lot of people out there trying to take advantage of you to a degree that I don't think was the same back when you guys were going out. Like, all these athletes now, they basically have to be in a VIP section that's guarded because there's people coming to do all sorts of things that are not things they want out in the news.
Yeah, you're probably right. Like the Mike Tyson thing wasn't it on the plane where the guy was badgering him? He turned around and clocked him.
Yeah.
So we've got some interesting things kind of coming in here on the talk and text line. First of all, from Dave and Aaron saying, Captain $65 Benedict says football players today are cheap.
I wasn't paying.
So, pretty good pop there from Dave. Kevin saying, I was going to text in and claim I would never eat food made by a stranger, but then I realized I've definitely eaten a brat cooked by a stranger walking in on opening day.
That's true. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's okay, though. Isn't that okay?
That's the exception. If you're walking through the parking lot at Lambeau or walking through the parking lot at AmFam Field, people are firing up the brats.
I think those also fit, like, there is a difference between somebody having to put together cookies, mix it, do the whole thing, and grab a brat out of a package
and toss it on a grill. Yeah.
Right, there's not a lot.
You're making the food. You're not preparing the
food. In that situation, I'm trusting Bunzels.
Bunzels is making it. Bunzels is preparing the sausage.
Right.
I am just putting the sausage on the grill.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I get fan mail to the house.
Yeah. Oh, you've got some fan mail here waiting for you, Bart.
I know. I'm looking for anthrax. I ain't going to lie.
Who do you think has access?
I ain't gonna lie.
Who do you think has access to anthrax?
Can you make it? I think you can make it.
Yeah, if you're Walter White.
I'm pretty sure you can make it, Gabe.
You certainly can. There are some byproducts that I think are required that would put up some red flags with Homeland Security. So I don't think it's like necessarily easy.
Jeff from Elkhorn says, if someone brings in homemade food to our clinic, I'll wait until four or five others eat it and can report on how it is. Can't be the first one. Ryan from Muguanago, 800-990-3776, wants to know, do food samples at Costco or a food court count?
That's safe.
Okay. All right.
Because they'd get in trouble if it wasn't, right?
Yeah, that's very true.
The same way your neighbor would get in trouble for poisoning you.
Yeah, but they'd have to go find them.
They live two houses down. It's not like...
That's a good point.
All right. I can't wait to ask Jason about this. We're going to do that. Jason Wilde joins us next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready? Down. Put.
All Packers. All the time.
We have come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde, joins us 3 times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, dudes. How you doing?
All right, Bro Chacho. If a stranger gave you food, would you eat it?
No.
No?
No.
So if you moved into a new neighborhood and a nice couple houses down decided they wanted to make you a lasagna, they bring it over for you, Paula, and the girls. Welcome to the neighborhood. You're throwing that food in the trash.
Well, that's perfect, because I don't like lasagna. Problem solved.
Okay, you like
chocolate
lasagna,
chip cookies.
Jason.
They bring over a new neighbors.
What's that? Hey, what's that supposed to mean?
That means you like chocolate chip cookies,
that
bud.
That means I think you're as likely to eat chocolate chip cookies as I am.
There was a pause. Jason, the reason we said this is because we were talking about Jordan Love on Thanasis saying that there were security guards and now cameras in the hallways of the hotel. And I felt bad because me, Brett, and Frank bribed the security guard to go out a week before the Super Bowl, and his wife turned around and baked us pies, which we couldn't eat.
Oh.
And I kind of felt bad.
I thought maybe. Okay. This took a different turn then, because I thought Gabe, you know, with his, he had moved into a new neighborhood and they had brought him a lasagna. So now I have to take a detour here, because when I traveled for all games, all road games, preseason, regular season, playoffs, I would always stay at the team hotel. They don't do that quite as – they make it a little bit tougher now, because sometimes they set up the media block for a hotel at a different hotel than the team is at. But, like, for instance, when Brett's dad passed away, there were a lot of guys that cover the team that are addicted to Marriott points. And so they stayed at a different hotel than the Packers did, which was like some sort of boutique hotel in Berkeley. And I just always thought, hey, if there's ever news, I want to be where the team is in case I have to try and cover it. And obviously there was news on that trip. And by being in the team hotel, I have a picture somewhere of this. Across the bottom line of ESPN, it says, Brett Favre, despite father's death, will play on Monday night. Wisconsin State Journal reports. Like, I don't break news very often. Rob Domofsky is a great newsbreaker. I am not. But that was a rare instance of being at the team hotel. Made a huge difference in me being able to do my job. How is that germane to your story? I'll tell you how. Because many a time I would push the wrong button on the, not that I was like hammered or anything, I would push the wrong button on the elevator, and if you pushed one of the buttons that went up to the team's block of rooms, there was a security guard waiting on the other side of the open door of the elevator to make sure that some knucklehead like me wasn't running around. And that was why, I don't know if you remember this, Chu, when you guys played in Minnesota in 97,
mm-hmm.
You guys had to win a primetime game in Minnesota. It was crucial to your kind of playoff positioning. And if I remember correctly, there was some crazy radio disc jockey who made up a story about Brett having some woman in his room, which was, you know, somewhat plausible, I suppose, except for the fact that it would have taken a lot to get her past security. Unless, of course, you and your other two amigos had some sort of scam going on, which made it possible. And the fact that you sent the security guard out to the Super Bowl a week early for exactly?
Well, so they no, no, go ahead.
We Jim. Didn't want we see the Patriots had curfew. Jay, they didn't have curfew, and we had curfew. I think it was midnight, and we thought it was extremely unfair. So the amigos, boy. Being the amigos, bribed the guy not to rat us out, which he didn't.
Savvy. See, there you go. Yeah. No wonder I had my doubts in 97. So his wife, you trusted this guy enough to have him be your accomplice, shall we say. And
yeah.
Yet you did not trust him enough to eat his wife's pies?
Yeah, Jason, I just can't eat any food from people I don't know.
Also, what are really the stakes for Chewy, Frank, and Brett in this? It's not like they're going to bench them for the Super Bowl.
True.
Well, yeah. maybe Chew gets benched for a quarter because they had Keith,
yeah.
Right?
Hold like on, Keith hold Jackson. On. Wait a minute. I was better than Frank. Why didn't you? You could have went with Frank.
Yeah, but I didn't know who the backup center was. Like, no. I knew Keith was like there. Like, oh, I mean, Keith would have been pissed off because then he would have had to play more.
Yeah, true. Jason, pivoting quickly, Jason, what is going on with this lease thing between the city and Murphy?
Yeah, I had a pretty passionate exchange with Homer last night on the Homer Hour that I'm sure you can find on Wisconsin On Demand. For me anyway, this comes down to this. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And the Packers certainly are within their rights to try and renegotiate their current lease with the city for Lambeau Field, which is what they do. All the stuff they do, the stadium, all that other stuff, it's like decorating your apartment that you rent. It is, you can do that if you want. You can paint the walls. You can do all those things. But you're still renting the space from your landlord, who happens to be the city of Green Bay. And basically, with 9 years remaining on their lease and another 5 2-year extensions also available, the Packers wanted to reopen negotiations so they could lower the amount that they pay to the city of Green Bay. And the team president wanted to get the Packers side out there and get public opinion swung in his team's direction. So he kind of went after the mayor yesterday or 2 days ago. And so, and again, let me be very clear. The Packers are within their rights to try and do this, but the city is within its rights. And I say this as a city of Green Bay resident and as a taxpayer to the city, that if the Packers are going to try and get out of paying what I think amounts to, based on the story I read in the Green Bay Press Gazette, about $40 million over the next X number of years, if they're going to do that, the city is well within its rights to say, no, we need that money. You agreed to pay this money. And if this is what you're going to insist upon, then there's nothing to negotiate here. And that's kind of where things stand currently. I know that everyone loves the Packers. I saw that after someone tweeted out this quote, that there were Packers fans that immediately wanted to start a recall petition for the mayor and this, that, and the next thing. And I would just tell you this, that the Green Bay Packers, with their $600 million in income last year and $69 million net profit for last year's operations alone, can probably find another way to raise $1.5 million a year, whatever it is that they pay to the city, and they don't need to negotiate their way out of that. That would be my opinion. And they raise ticket prices every year. It's not cheap to go on a stadium tour or to the Hall of Fame. I've eaten at 1919 Kitchen and Tap. They're not keeping, you know, bargain basement cafeteria prices there. Like, they have all kinds of revenue streams, including the new gambling one, which seems to be going very well for pro sports at the moment. I understand if you don't live here, you don't have a vested interest in it, but like, this is a town where they are struggling with their school district to keep schools open. And so the amount of money that is a drop in the bucket for the Packers, who are basically arguing, look, we've done all this for the community and all this for the stadium, that money's significant to the city. And I thought the worst two things that I saw from this, and again, they don't ask for my advice. I don't work in public relations. But I would say this. A, for Mark Murphy's threat to be that, well, since they've walked away from the table, we're going to stop an $80 million project inside the stadium that is for the concourses and the concession stands. And that hurts our fans, and it hurts us for the draft, which is what he said, even though that clip is not on Packers.com, that phrase about the draft, which is bogus.
It's very interesting, Jason. Very interesting that they would choose to edit that out.
Yeah, I don't know enough about what happened there. I just thought that was odd. And then the second part of it, Keith, is that one of their spokesmen said yesterday that they hope that they get back to the table before any further harm is done. Come on. No harm has been done here. And so I just think that for and this is my biggest pet peeve, and then I'll stop rambling. For an organization that, and you guys have heard me say this a million times, that loves the narrative of we're owned by the community, we're owned by the fans. For that same organization, this isn't the Atlanta Falcons and Arthur Blank. This isn't the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones trying to extract more from Atlanta or North Texas. This is the Green Bay Packers, who are supposed to be different and love to tell you how different they are. trying to pay less money to the city. Remember, Titletown is not in Green Bay. It is in Ashwaubenon. And so there are subtleties to this story. It's not just as simple as, boy, that mayor, he's just looking to get voted out of office because he won't do what the Packers say. And I just wish we had more, I understand this is unrealistic, but critical thinkers on social media that would say, wait a minute, is this something that an organization, the smallest city in all of professional sports in North America, is this something they really need to be doing? And I would argue that if you look at it from that perspective, you would be able to say, yes, it's within their rights to do, but it's not something they should do. I would hope you would see it that way. But again, that's my opinion. If you don't view it that way, go right ahead.
Well, just circling back. Well, first of all, threatening fans is probably not the way to do it, because that's the way they present it. Well, we're not going to do this $80 million, and that's going to hurt our fans and the draft. And they can threaten the fans, and they know the fans, I mean, we're powerless. We can't actually do anything. But the reason, Jason, why that's edited out at Packers.com is obvious. Because if you say something of, oh, that's going to affect the draft, I mean, we're still more than a year away from that. The NFL can very easily go, oh, you're not going to be ready for the draft. You're not going to have the proper infrastructure within your stadium for the draft. Okay, we're going to pluck it out of there. Like, that's easy to me. Like, to me, Mark Murphy just went too far and somehow didn't really put it in jeopardy. But, I mean, the draft is his baby. Why would you not just put the $80 million into the stadium to make sure that Lambeau is going to be shining the best for the biggest event that you can do as an organization? They're never getting a Super Bowl in Green Bay. The draft is it in terms of events that you can host at Lambeau Field within the NFL. So just shine it up. You got the $80 million. It's already spent. You were already planning on doing it. Putting it on hold makes zero sense to me.
Mm-hmm. And you... Not only that, you just raised ticket prices again. So you got more money coming in. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Do a flash stock sale. It'll cover it real quick.
Yeah, there you go.
Very, very quickly. Jason, we always appreciate the time, bud. Look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.
Of course, fellas. I appreciate you. Take care. Be good.
Quick question here for you, Chew, from Chef Ed. So, Chewy, if I made you some borscht, you wouldn't try it?
If it was from Chef Ed, yes, I would.
Okay.
Because I know Chef Ed through the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you barely.
You know his name.
Well, I didn't say I was going to try it first.
Well, I think you might be the only one here to try borscht. Yeah, I'm not.
Going to tell you what, pal. Given how you've sold borscht in the past, I ain't going to be the first to try it either.
Good point.
Packers may actually be having a kicking competition. We dive into that topic. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I
do.
Yes, all right. I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the minus. Easy.
Yeah, but the jacker things don't have the...
Yeah, they do.
Where?
Sure do. On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the drawer?
You meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Throughout the course of the season, even though they didn't want to use the word rebuild and all these different things, there were actions by the Packers and Brian Gutekunst that showed that it was. You know, Brian Gutekunst has been on record before talking about, if you are a team with championship expectations, you need to have a championship quality kicker. And they had a first year kicker who went through his struggles, and they were going to be patient with him. They made the trade where at the trade deadline, Rasul Douglas, they sent him out of town for a third round pick. Because they weren't expecting to compete, which, again, I'm not criticizing that. That's just where the roster was. And, again, given what happened last year, making the playoffs, winning a playoff game, pushing the 49ers as far as they did in that divisional round game, clearly the Packers think they can compete this year, Chew. And one of the biggest signs, not just what they did in free agency, not just getting a new defensive coordinator to make sure that side of the ball is going to be able to keep up with what we think the offensive side can as the young team continues to grow. But the question we asked was, okay, are they actually going to have a real kicking competition? And by signing Greg Joseph, who's been in the league for 5 seasons, kicked every game the last 3 years in Minnesota, I would say that, yes, they are serious about having a kicking competition, and they're serious about having a championship-quality kicker.
Do you think this competition is going to be fair, or it's going to be graded on the curve?
I think it's got to be. Meaning, I think it's going to be fair.
You think so? You don't think Carlson can miss a few here and there? If Joseph misses, you know, I just don't see it. Was he that bad?
He missed
for a rookie. I mean, do we have to give him a little bit of grace because he's young? Or for a kicker, it doesn't matter.
I mean, I don't care, Chew. Like,
yeah. Yeah,
kicking,
I mean,
kicking is the easiest position to evaluate for any fan. It is truly one or zero. There is no nuance there. Like, either you made the kick or you missed the kick.
So you don't want to give him a chance. Because I remember Ryan Longwell, and I know this is, whatever, 20, not even 20 years ago. But he beat out Brett Conway. He missed a game-winning kick in Philadelphia, like a 27-yarder.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just patient with him. Probably had a decent year, didn't have a great year, but I don't ever remember them bringing in competition that next year. So you're saying that kickers are different and they deserve no grace period. It's just purely...
Well, no, you got your grace period last year. You missed a kick. When you miss a kick, Chew, every game for like 2 months straight, guess what? Okay, now your grace period's over. Now your learning period is over. Now you have the opportunity. Go out there, win the job. If you don't respond to competition, then I probably don't want you on the team anyway. But he missed a kick in, let's see, one, two. I mean, there were just too many kicks that he missed.
No, I know, but the parallels here to the quarterback position are pretty similar. Okay, because then you start with Ryan Longwell, right? Then you go to Mason Crosby, two excellent kickers that were here forever that probably struggled a little bit their rookie year and next year. And now you go to Carlson, who would be the Jordan Love, who we were patient with through the first nine games, and then he turned it on.
Sure, we were patient through a season, right? Like, again, right. Kickers are...
So you're saying straight up, head-to-head.
Yes.
Competition every single day. At the end of the day, we're going to add up all the kicks.
Yeah.
The one who is... I don't think they do that, Gabe.
That's what they should do. If you don't do that, if you're willing to give Anders Carlson a little bit of a break because he was your draft pick, that's BS.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Whatever one of these two gives you the best chance to win, that's who the kicker should be at the end of the day.
I'm not getting rid of him. Sorry, I'm not. If at the end of the day, through training camp, let's say Carlson misses two less kicks than Joseph, I'm staying with Carlson. Why did the Minnesota get rid of Joseph?
I mean, he's just a free agent. I mean, he's the kicking in terms of 50-plus is very similar to Anders, but everything under 40, he's better, and he didn't miss as many extra points. That's the thing that just grinds my gears, man. Like, as many extra points as this dude
missed. I you know what? Where it wasn't a factor before, though, Gabe, because all these guys did was told to kick it out of the end zone.
Yeah.
Now they're going to try and coffin corner this thing.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you kick it out of the end zone, you're getting the ball at the 30, which is a huge advantage for the offense, because I told you about midfield. Now, once you get past, once you're into the minus 40s, you're like, all right, it's kind of go time. So there's going to be a little bit of a premium of a guy dropping it in a bucket on the 2 yard line on either sideline. Now comes into play.
Couple of responses here. Noah saying Crosby had a worse season, a rookie season, sure. Vikings kicker guy kicked indoors in 2023 set stats slightly worse than Green Bay's current dude guy. The extra point numbers are very much better. Yes, overall numbers are about the same. All I am saying, I'm not saying get rid of Anders Carlson. I'm just saying have a straight up competition.
Yeah, there's a portion here where Anders Carlson wasn't a good college kicker, and they carried that into the pros. So he needs to improve. They fell in love with his big leg because Mason Crosby was an issue with, you know, kicking through the end zone. Now things have changed. I don't know if he's capable of the drop in the bucket like He doesn't seem to be a finesse kicker by any means.
And I am going to be very honest with you guys. Right now, I do not give a rip about the coffin corner kickoff.
Yeah.
Why?
The only thing I care about is can you put the ball through the uprights?
So important.
Score points.
You put that ball in the middle of the field, okay, on a kickoff, that opens up all the lanes. You coffin corner it, you're already cutting the field in half. I'm telling you how important it is. It's very important.
I mean, maybe it is. We don't know. We haven't seen enough of how the returns are going to work. You know, like the lanes are going to be different in returns now, Chew. Like they just are. It's not going to be like it was before.
We used to do the same thing. We would directional punt, right? We would directional punt in my day when I long snap.
Mm-hmm.
And directional punt, they'd say, all right, I'm punting it to the right, going to try and bury it there. In bound still, but I'm going to put it there.
Yeah.
You know what? There's nothing worse. It's when the guy says he's going to kick it right, and then he kicks it left. You know?
Because you're going down.
Because the last thing you want to do, Gabe, and I'm telling you this, you can't do it anymore, but the last thing you want to do is snap the ball, start running downfield, and then have to look up to where the ball is because you're getting ear hold.
Well, but you don't have to do that on kickoff now because you can't move until the guy touches it.
Exactly.
You know,
but I'm telling you, it eliminates half the field when you got a good kicker that can coffin corner it. And I'm telling you, this is going to come into play in their decision making on who to keep.
Sure, but right now I don't care. The most important thing is can you put it through the uprights? That's literally the most important thing.
Yes. Agree, especially on extra points. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And so I'm not saying get rid of Anders. I'm just saying if he wins the kicking competition, great.
You're saying straight up. It's not going to be straight up.
I just want the best kicker possible. And that's BS if it's not straight up. Because if one guy is better than Anders Carlson and then you keep him around and he continues to miss kicks like this, you're doing a disservice to your team.
All right.
Just because he was your guy. You can't do that. If you have true championship aspirations, you can't do that. And if Anders wins, then he wins. I'm fine with that. I just want the best kicker they can possibly have.
I just don't think it's going to be straight up. I really don't.
Which is BS. Do you think it's BS? Like, if you were on this team, Chew.
Yeah, it's and BS. Throughout, yes, and throughout but you're the a course, draft pick. But you're a draft pick. And that accounts for something with the GM.
It shouldn't.
The last thing Goody wants to say is, hey, I made a mistake on Carlson. What round? What was he, a six-round pick?
Yeah, that's his thing. He's a six-round pick. And here's the other thing. You nailed all those other picks before it. We're going to give you some leeway, Goody. If you missed the sixth round kicker, who cares?
You should stop drafting specialists.
Yeah, at least he's not Mike Sherman.
Oh, trading up in the third round? Yeah. Ha, shout out to Brett Conway.
No, that was the punter.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying Brett Conway was an early pick.
No, he was another
one. That was Ron.
Yeah.
That was Ron. Yeah, that was another one. BJ, was it BJ Sander?
BJ Sander.
Is that who they traded up for?
Yeah.
Bad history. Bad history. We've got a good history with our grievance bracket. We're going to do that coming up next. But first, I do want to tell you about this. Baseball fans, get ready for the Brewers home opener with the ultimate tailgate experience from Herd Hospitality and the Milwaukee Broadhouse. Forget the parking hassle this year. Indulge in an all-you-can-eat and drink game day experience at the Tailgate House on April 2nd. Food, drink, live music, ESPN Milwaukee broadcasts, and transportation to and from the ballpark. Caller 4 right now. Caller 4 to 800-990-3776 wins a pair of passes to the opening day tailgate at the Tailgate House. That's 800-990-3776 for a pair of passes. Full contest rules at ESPNWisconsinContests.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Everything, any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hit it!
Time to dive back into our brackets here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And I'm not talking about Sweet 16 brackets that start back up tonight, although I am excited for that. Should be fun, especially tomorrow night. Swing out to Buffalo Wild Wings in West Dallas for the Marquette Watch Party. I'll be there for the Learfield pregame and halftime show as Marquette gets ready for their Sweet 16 matchup against NC State. I'll be out there. Pregame starts at 5:30. That's tomorrow night. But I'm talking about our grievance bracket here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we continue to unveil the matchups that you can vote on our social media pages at Jen, Gabe, Chewy on Twitter. So yesterday, Chew, we got the first bathroom region matchup out there. Pee on the Seats taking on Only Electric Hand Dryer. So we threw that one out. You can still vote for that right now, although time is ticking on at Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter. So
who's
it is
winning? Who's winning that one, Gabe?
Right now it is Pee on the Seat, 77%. All right, you ready for the two more we're going to throw out there, and then we'll release our final bathroom region matchup later in the show?
Yes.
The number three seed in the bathroom region, motion detection faucets. You know, you're just kind of sitting there, you're trying to wash your hands, and all this is just kind of spitting out a little bit of water. You're not getting that nice flow that you're looking for. Or the sixth seed, forgot to flush.
Six is going to walk with this one.
It should, right?
Huh?
It should.
I would think. Although the motion detector under the sink.
Yeah.
I mean, where are you supposed to wave your hand? Sometimes it's touch the top of the thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's underneath.
And then, and most of the time then, it doesn't give you like a consistent good flow where you want to, you know, where you're trying to wash off the soap off your hands. You just can't do it because it's just not on for long enough.
Soap. Who the hell uses soap? Come on. What the hell are we doing?
I mean,
Joshy, do you use soap?
Yeah, of course.
You don't use soap.
I use soap.
That's more annoying than anything. Pumping that thing with nothing coming out.
That's what she said.
That should have been one of them. Who uses soap?
I would say a majority of people. Majority of people use soap.
It is essential to the washing process.
No.
Uh huh.
No.
Yeah.
I'm at the gym every day.
Yeah.
And I've yet to see someone use soap. I don't even know if there's soap in there.
Wait, you're sitting there. You're sitting there at the sink in the bathroom checking to see if people are using soap?
Well, there's three sinks right there.
Okay.
I've got unbelievable peripheral vision. And number one, you're only holding the thing with one hand anyway, so what the hell you got to wash the other one?
What if you go number two?
I'm wiping with the same hand. I'm not amphibious.
Yeah, but so, okay. Now, you know what?
What?
Ambidextrous is the word you're looking for.
Well, no,
there.
No.
That's it.
I know the amphibious thing. I was going to leave that alone. I'm just talking about, like, so you are only, like, washing one hand? How are you washing one hand?
What does the other hand need to be washed for, Gabe?
Well, no, because you're rubbing the hands together in order to wash your hands. That's how you properly wash your hands.
Not necessarily.
Wait, you just sitting there doing this with your hand? What are we talking about?
Yeah, you just get the fingers.
Your hands are filthy. Keep those things away from me. Anytime I see you, I don't want them near me.
Joshy.
What?
Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
What's grosser?
Mm-hmm.
The barbells that I'm picking up in the gym that no one wipes down or my right hand?
Well, your right hand is picking up those barbells and your unit, therefore creating
at the end of the day, at the end of my workout, they have like the baby wipes in these little things around the gym.
Yep.
So when I exit the gym, I take those and wipe everything down. Good to go.
Including your hands?
Both hands.
Okay. I mean, it's better than nothing. Better than nothing.
So Gabe, you're washing your hands after you take a leak.
Yeah.
And you're
every time.
Gabe, I'm saying in the gym, 30 seconds later, you're picking up a dumbbell that hasn't been wiped down in God knows how long with probably 80 people touching the thing.
You and Ben Bruss have the same exact issue here, and it comes from the same exact spot. You're not thinking about anybody else in your hand washing process. It's only you touching. Because if you don't wash your hands properly after going to the bathroom, you then touch the barbells that everyone else uses and make them even more gross and filled with bacteria. Yes.
No, because the issue would be how long does someone use the barbell after I used it? 5 minutes? So you're talking a bit. Yeah, you guys are insane.
Do you think that if your germs touch something, they get wiped out by the next person's germs who touches it?
Number one, certain amount of germs are good for you.
See, now you're switching the conversation. Yeah, you're on the run here.
He's doing the look over here thing. Hey, look it over
we're
here.
Up, hey, we're up against it. It's 9:02.
The other matchup we're unveiling right now, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Should have known this was going to happen, especially in the bathroom region. Long lines at a venue taking on talking.
Yeah, talking's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, talking. I can't believe talking got a 7 seed.
I mean, when I'm in the bathroom, I got a captive audience. It's showtime, baby.
Josh, he's working on his latest material.
Got to test drive it.
Yeah. No, talking to the boys takes on a whole new meaning in the bathroom, Joshy.
That looks like a penis, only smaller.
I don't know. We need 2 minutes to regroup. Just give us a little bit here on Jen Gabe and Chewy.